Inspiring text. I think it illustrates the suffering of the Christ, the suffering that he endured in absolute obedience to the Father, and that is not to say that Jesus was ever not obedient to the Father, but he experienced the depths of obedience through his suffering. And based on that, God granted him a new priesthood because God found in our Savior the perfect high priest, full of compassion, compassion that he acquired through his own suffering, compassion which becomes central to his role as the mediator that can empathize with our humanity, our weaknesses, and our lack of perfection. So it was in Jesus Christ that now God can relate with us in a new way, in a more personal way, in a way that we didn't understand before, but through Jesus in the cross, now we can understand. He knows about who we are and our sufferings and our victories and our defeats. Therefore, having been perfected through his redemptive experiences, Jesus became to humanity the only source of salvation, the only source of mercy, and the only source for the faithful to have an encounter with God here on earth. Then chapter 5 moves on to highlight the importance of our commitment to spiritual maturity and growth in our faith. The text comes with a warning against spiritual stagnation, and also comes with emphasis about the need of engaging in deeper understanding and intimacy with God. So really, it's not only a beautiful text, it also goes in very important directions. So Scripture is fulfilled. I'm sorry. Scripture is full of encouraging guidance on how to walk closely to God and to the Lord, how to be more intimate with God, how to establish a relationship of love and trust and obedience, and a fellowship with Jesus. Therefore, as we walk through life, we understand that he's near and he's available, and he desires to create a fellowship with each one of us. So overall, reading this scripture, I heard there the call to an individual connection with Christ, a call for not to be detached from the seeking and the reaching towards spiritual maturity. Verse 14 says, because those that by constant use of spiritual knowledge have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And that should be our goal. And this is somehow the gold standard for God. He looks for this capacity for us to be able to distinguish between good and evil, to receive then a call to guide others into Christ, or even to guide the flock for Christ. So there is a call that we need to be willing to hear as a personal call. Then in the communal sense, or in the congregational sense, the call is for us not to be found ignorant and going astray, but to be engaged in obedience. That's a little bit chapter, verse 8 and this chapter, and which was there a call to obey our high priest. The high priest was appointed to represent and to guide the people of God in matters related to God and into faithfulness. So the call still remains. The high priest that we have, today we have a new high priest, also designated by God, that is concerned about the people going after unworthy causes, as people without spiritual guidance often do, things that will defile the life of a person. And our high priest is actively providing for us solid food and worthy causes to be involved with. So as we come now in the care of a new high priest, this high priest have put before us a menu of good quality food for us to eat, spiritually speaking, and good quality causes for us to get involved with to grow spiritually. The job of the high priest always was to guide the people toward God. On the other hand, God is actively providing the things. Paul speak about solid food. Food that will nourish the wisdom of the people. And he also is talking about good quality causes, worthy causes that we can pay attention as a congregation to become part of the care that a congregation can offer. It is something that God is providing to us. It's an exercise in faith. Also is something that brings definition to what is an identity to a congregation. It creates also a worthy cause, creates an internal understanding of who we are, a worthiness to our walk. A congregation embarks in a journey of exercising worthy causes. And this creates an identity to the ones involved. So here in Friendly, sometimes we come out with individual activities that we as whole, the whole body of Christ here, want to be behind it. Things that we want to labor together towards a goal. And it becomes a common spiritual goal and a call for us to follow. So when disciples choose to align with the purpose of a congregation, with the purposes of a congregation, and commit time and labor, we all become engaged in a process of maturity. We try to align with other disciples, and this is a process that is pleasing to God because we are moving from an individual relationship with the faith and with God into a walking unity with others in Christ, which edifies the church. So there is a call to individual person to become part of the community of Christ. And the community of Christ is called to put forward worthy causes that will unify us to work together. Therefore, it is important to God that we do these kind of things. And let's not minimize the importance of our participation in them. Let's not take away the value that our sacrifice into a worthy cause creates when we are part of what the congregation chooses to do or provide or perform. So God is pleasing. God is pleased with that activity, so don't make it less important in your life. So we are then in a process of maturity. We go, we walk side by side with strong Christians that are working in a sacrificial way, People, they already know that whatever they're doing, it is a part of their sacrificial journey, and that are giving support to people that are struggling. They are encouraging people that are disconnected. Perhaps even they try to reach those that chapter 11, verse 11 says, they are no longer trying to understand. So it's in this congregational doing where strong spiritual people can work to bring others into full fellowship. So don't take away from your connection to things that are happening around you. Paul has a little bit of a compendium of worldly causes. He includes the new, the weak, those that are in trouble, the persecuted ones, the poor, and we can keep adding, right? Each is either in that condition because they are in crisis or because they are experiencing a lack of faith. Both of them are there to be supported through the operations of the strong and the faithful. We're not talking about a condition that is somehow static. Those that are struggling are also involved in the ongoing process of putting out the old self and leaving behind things that they belong to this world. They're also carrying through their struggles the good intention of being like Christ. And they are there, they're moving away from the works of the flesh into producing the fruit of the Spirit. They just somehow, even though they're intentional, somehow they could be sluggish or barely moving, but still they want to experience spiritual growth. And it's the job of the strong to move those people forward. Now, back then, we all can look back when we were Christians completely immature. Let's raise your hands. Were you ever immature? No. We did not know much about the Bible. I didn't. I walked many, many months on my beginning journey with Christ without knowing very little about the Bible. I didn't know probably how to pray or what to ask. All of which make us extremely vulnerable. We also were fortunate and blessed because we received care, support, even instruction in moments of need from the strong and from the faithful. Those people that were caring, helping us to carry our burdens when our burdens were heavy and many times unbearable. Those Christians at that moment in time were fulfilling the law of Christ because we were the worthy cause. So, I have a PowerPoint, I forgot. I work like crazy trying to get this PowerPoint going. All right. Back then, when we did not understand how to give priority to the things that are from God. The Holy Spirit used faithful brothers and sisters in our behalf. And we were then motivated and equipped and encouraged. And also we were empowered to grow out of our struggles. And we were empowered in acquiring wisdom. We need someone to teach the elementary truth about God, about His Word to us. And back then, those people did to us. So the first worthy cause that God puts in our way is another person, another Christian that is struggling with their faith, with the walk with Christ, with their understanding. And we were compelled to move forward in this journey of faith by very ready and available strong Christians. Then the team of moving from darkness to light is a recurring biblical theme that symbolizes the transition from ignorance, sin, and separation to community with God. To have communion with God. To have union with God. Light symbolizes order and goodness and divine presence. And now we were granted to be children of light. This is a new identity. That arrives to us when we have an encounter with Christ. This is a new identity that comes with the duty of making our walk in life to be in accordance with the light of Christ. And comes also with the responsibility to become, in due time, strong, faithful, and productive Christians. And with the new nature, we also receive the new responsibility of maturing in spiritual matters, of growing strength, and we are called to be passionate about worthy causes. And for a dedicated servant of Christ, living without passion here on earth is painful and is a burden. So we not only are called to be and walk, we are called to be passionate. And because passion is like fuel. You know, it burns and needs to be replaced. Passion is the fuel given by God that helps us persevere. The Holy Spirit does not allow for the good news of Christ to remain in silence in your interior. If I am enthusiastic about my faith, because my faith is my connection with God Himself, it's not because I'm compelled to share the good news because I feel guilty somehow. If I have the intentions to speak about Christ because I, by the Spirit of God in me, desire to do it. My spirit desires to connect with others about Christ. So I need passion for that. Ain't gonna come out because I feel somehow obligated. It comes because the Holy Spirit have put in me passion for Christ. So let's cultivate in us a strong relationship with God. Let's meditate on the scripture and have eyes to see how active God is all around us. And let's become a regular for God. Regularly talk about God's worship in your life. Regularly take part in evangelistic conversations. Regularly pray for those around you. Regularly worship deeply. Regularly do something for your spiritual growth. Let's become regular for God. Unworthy causes exposes the world to the living nature of our faith in Christ. These are acts that demand to put our faith in God's doings. These are activities that tell God that I believe that He is still active today. Worthy causes bring glory to the name of Christ. That's why you and I need to be actively supporting them. As children of light, we must remain nimble to act upon the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our life. So let's be passionate for Christ. Let me fix that. Let's be regularly passionate for Christ. We cannot allow ourselves to go dormant in our spirit. Now, for much of this to happen, so to occur, the church must submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and must have a submissive leadership. There was an article in Christianity Today that described church as the most leadership-intensive organization on earth. Let me say that the work of transforming the human heart, it is the field of the Holy Spirit. But the local church provides opportunity for such change to happen. So, God has given to a handful of seasoned leaders, and I was meditating on this, and said, well, some of them are a little more seasoned than the others. But we have a handful of experienced leaders that are called to challenge the body of Christ into action. But they receive this call to mobilize you and I and this group over here without the authority of a military leader. They are called to mobilize the body of Christ without the financial incentives of corporate officers. Only with leadership skills. Relying on the expectation that the body of Christ will recognize the values and the motives and the priorities that they are exhibiting in their leadership efforts. Therefore, Paul writes to the Colossians telling them about the duties of the strong in the faith, to act with responsibility toward the growth of others. And Paul writes, the mature Christians have responsibility to give warnings and instruction so that many will be encouraged to fully mature in Christ. This call to action, it is done by our leaders, and they don't have any clear, well-defined authority to do it, other than the power of the Holy Spirit in you moving each one of us to be compelled to reach those that are in need, those worthy causes that are coming forward. So still remains our own individual responsibility to strengthen our spiritual life and to be in action about it. Paul often stressed responsibility to labor for our own faith, to strengthen our own maturity, to seek our stability. And for many, you know, these are elusive goals. The fact of looking for growth and for maturity, sometimes, right, they remain elusive. Because if we don't understand that there's a moment to walk on your own, if we persistently depend on the good intentions of others, even though they are loving and caring brothers in Christ, that can become a comfort to our own nature. And we don't want to be propelled into walk by faith. But anything that is done, anything, any help you receive, any encouragements you is granted to you, is to propel you to walk by faith. I have a 2-year-old that comes to my house. He doesn't want to sit down. He wants to run up and down the stairs if you let him. So we are fed by the Spirit to have the energy to run for God. So go do it. Let's see what Hebrews says. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary things about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that led to death and of faith in God. So therefore, let's move forward. Let's go beyond the elementary things. Be brave in your faith. In time, the Father will equip us to be part of his team. He will equip us and bring us alongside someone else who maybe is going through hard times so that we can be there. That person needed somebody to be there. And God also was there for us when we were that person. Have you allowed the love of God to fill up your heart with compassion for the lost, for the weak, for those that no longer try to understand? Let's keep in mind that the calling we receive is to bring forward, to give sacrificial service toward the strugglers, the immature, the new, and such. So there is no comfort in being mature in your faith. It is the understanding that your effort is a sacrificial effort to allow others to escape the power that is bringing them backwards. Therefore, sacrificial spiritual service is not a checklist. It's not a checklist. It's not a project. It's not about numbers. It's about people. It's about your own journey of faith, where the fruit of the Spirit come to fruition in your own life if you are hosting others to grow spiritually. It's about our own journey. Then there's a necessary question that I need to ask here. Is maturity in Christ a priority to me? Am I one of those Christians that have the expectation of constant care and constant catering? Of constant calling me on the phone to see how I'm doing? On constant telling me somebody, oh, we miss you Sunday. Am I one of those? Do I want to be there forever? Come on, people, let's be passionate for Christ. Or have I finally arrived to the point where I can stretch my hands and give care to those that are needing care? If a Christian persists in maintaining a lack of concern, avoiding involvement, perhaps the Word of God has not yet truly affected that life. Or perhaps that person remains unaware of the risk of not working his or her faith and salvation, of not conquering in their own lives. I believe that all of us should have some appropriate goals to arrive to be ready and to be accessible and to be capable and to be fruitful and to be knowledgeable. We all should have goals of that kind. And it is part of the counsel that Paul gives is regarding today's reading is this. Let's start by asking the Holy Spirit to install in us true desire to serve the Lord with gladness, to be givers of blessings and joy. Let's start by allowing the Holy Spirit to move us forward, to change me, to train me, to use me. Let's be willing in allowing God to bring a season of joy into our lives. Joy that He has reserved for you and for me and for us since eternity. Renew our faithfulness. Let's renew our faithfulness. Let's renew our joy. And let's be grateful that we are in the presence of God. I think I got you my final slide. In everything I did, I show you that by these kinds of hard works, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We engage with God in doing good things because these actions are necessary for the simple people that we are to experience God. None of us is going to go and open the recycle bin and see an angel sitting on top of it. Ain't happen anymore. God is working His presence into your life when you are engaged in the necessity of moving forward the kingdom. When you are involved with the people of the congregation. When you are experiencing your faith and growing your fruits of the Spirit. And many times, what we're doing is just showing mercy on those that are in need. And when mercy is received, it always carries with it the power to conquer those defects, those things that are weakness in our life. God has told us that there is time for everything. There is time to receive, and there's time to give. And our prayer today should be, Lord, be with me as I devote myself to grow spiritual, because I am tired of simple milk. I want to eat something solid. Even though there are chicken nuggets tomorrow, it can be a steak later on. So tell God, I'm tired of being a milk-drinking baby in Christ. I just want to grow up. Let's be our prayer. Allow me to be part of what's going on. The things that are going on. Things that are the story of redemption. Of a world that needs to know about Christ. That is going on today. Let me be part of that story. Let me sacrifice my time in your name. And ask God that your time on bended knees will be pleasing to Him. And go get it. Go do it. God is training. Oh, I have another. God has equipped, empowered, and encouraged you to be the one that goes and get it done. God bless you both.